The Deputy Nationals Leader, Bridget McKenzie, is the Agriculture Minister, and she joined me earlier. Bridget McKenzie, thanks for joining AM.
Absolute pleasure, Svabra.
Pauline Hanson says you should quit, will you?
Not at all. We're wanting to get on and deliver a mandatory code that delivers for our dairy farmers. We've been working on this issue since the clawbacks in 2016 from Murray Goulburn and Fonterra, really highlighted through that ACCC inquiry, the issues structurally with the dairy industry. So on the back of that ACCC recommendations, we're implementing a mandatory code. We've also made a raft of other changes and support structures within the dairy industry, including funding financial and legal advice to farmers so that when they are negotiating their contractors with processors, they'll be able to negotiate an outcome
that sees them as profitable. Sorry there, Minister. The problem is with the code as it is now proposed. The ACCC Deputy Commissioner, Mick Keogh, says that this code is very unclear. There are a number of issues with it, and they're his words. What are you going to do about that?
Well, that's exactly why it's out for exposure draft, Sabra. I've spoken to Mick, and I agree with him. There are some issues that need clarity. So we're out talking with dairy farmers each and every week over the next 4 weeks. We're getting their feedback, not just from the farmers, but from the whole industry abroad, so that we get the right code. We've got eight regions in Australia that produce dairy. They're very unique with their own challenges and opportunities, and we need to make sure the code reflects that. You might note one of the changes between the principles that were consulted on earlier this year and the draft exposure draft before us today is around exclusive supply contracts. Now, what we found through the consultations were there's some regions in Australia where there is only one processor for farmers to sell their milk to. Now, they need to get a fair price and it needs to be transparent, etc. But to say that you can't have exclusive supply agreements kind of ignores the reality that for some farmers, unfortunately, there's no second processor for them to have competition for.
All right, but the wording of the code has changed since a draft exposure of it in January from expressly prohibiting the practice of retrospective price drops for dairy farmers to now circumstances beyond reasonable control. Why did that wording change?
Well, that reflects the consultations we had prior to the election. That is the only reason for that change.
And who asked for the wording to be changed?
Well, no one asked for the wording to be changed, Sabra. I can categorically go on the record. I've had
the wording has changed. Who asked for it?
So, Sabra, we consulted on five principles out there with industry. Principle number five actually goes to the issue you're speaking about. And when in respect to the consultation and feedback we received from stakeholders, the drafters have reflected that feedback in the words before us today.
But now, someone specifically has recommended those words. Who has recommended those words?
Sabra, the code reflects the consultations, and that's why we're out there today. It needs to be clear.
The words have come from somewhere. They don't just come from thin air. Someone has suggested those words. Where have they come from?
Our legal drafters have interpreted the feedback we got through consultation and have actually reflected that in the words we have today. Now, I myself have reflected concerns about some unilateral issues, the exclusive supply agreements, etc. So we're all having feedback into this process so that we get the code that is right for our dairy farmers. The code needs to deliver for Australian dairy farmers.
Well, farmers like Graham Forbes, the farmers interest group Dairy Connect, he believed that those words will give milk processors the ability to retrospectively cut prices like Murray Goulburn did in 2016. And again, Mick Keogh, who's worked in farming for decades, says there are problems here. What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to get the code right. Now, I lived through the step downs and the clawbacks of both Fonterra and Murray Goulburn, and we have dairy farmers today who are still living with the fallout of those processors' decisions. My party, our government, backs our dairy farmers and is sick to death of the egregious behaviour of processors and retailers, I might say, in the dairy industry supply chain over many decades. So we're here to do something about it. We're going to get the code right, and it is why I've been speaking personally with dairy farmers since I got the job, and even this week, and why we're out there engaging so that we get the words right. We'll make sure the code reflects a system and a framework that will mean that our farmers will get a fair price for their milk, which is exactly what they want and what they deserve and what Australians expect.
The Murray-Goulburn incident happened in 2016. This code is supposed to be up and running by January the 1st. It's not going to be done in time, is it?
Well, Sabra, we either want to get it done quickly or we want to get it done right. Now, we brought the code forward for consultation this year. I'm not going to rush to put out a code that is not going to be fit for purpose and not going to actually work in all eight of our regions across the country. You've got a North Queensland industry, which has very different issues to WA, which is, again, different to South Australia. So we need to make sure the code is fit for purpose. We're working with dairy farmers from each and every one of these regions to get the code right. That's my promise to dairy farmers. I want them to be sustainable and prosperous into the future, and the code is one mechanism to give them support when they're negotiating supply agreements. I wrote to processors 2 weeks ago to put them on notice. They knew we were bringing a code in if we won the election. We did. And if they're negotiating contracts in the coming period before the code's in place that are outside the spirit of the code, then they do so at their peril because they knew it was coming. Minister, we stand with our farmers and we want a prosperous industry, and we're not going to rush the code to fill some arbitrary time frame and then end up with unintended consequences.
Minister, yesterday the head of the Bushfire and Natural Hazards CRC told this program that it's always a good time to talk about climate change. Why isn't the government following the lead of experts on this?
Well, firstly, Sabra, I think with respect to the bushfire catastrophe that is unfolding both in New South Wales and Queensland, you know, our thoughts and prayers are obviously with the 100 injured, the families of those people who've passed away, and the hundreds of Australians who last night and going forward don't get to sleep in their own bed because their house doesn't exist anymore. Finger pointing, I think, in a crisis is never should be your first priority. It must be on the front line with our communities and volunteers. But we haven't shied away as a government from being upfront about accepting the science of climate change and making sure that we have measures in place right across government to reduce our emissions.
Minister, thanks for joining AM this morning.
Anytime, Sabra.
And Bridget McKenzie is the Deputy Nationals Leader and Agriculture Minister.